In the name of Jesus, amen. You're familiar with Psalm 100, I'm sure. You know, the psalm that goes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Enter into his gates with praise and his courts with thanksgiving. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." You may have memorized that in the King James translation, but there it is in the English Standard translation. But notice that that is a psalm of joy, of thanksgiving. And why is that thanksgiving? Because God has not only created us, he has made us the sheep of his own pasture. And he, through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is our shepherd. So we enter his gates with songs of praise. We enter into his presence with thanksgiving. And that's what the opening hymn today was all about, "All People That on Earth Do Dwell." The tune is known as Old Hundredth because this tune is set to the versification of Psalm 100. Listen to this. "All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice." Oh, sing to the Lord, I don't want to. "Him serve with mirth, with joy, with overflowing merriment, and his praise forth tell. Come ye before him, and rejoice." And you know what? That is our privilege this very day. Here, as we enter, as God's redeemed people in Christ, his baptized people, as we enter into the presence of the Lord. Now, I know it's a rainy, gray, and gloomy day, and weather like that can affect our spirits, our mood. I know that many of you probably have troubles and concerns and worries that occupy your attention and weigh you down. I know that some of you have health problems, or family members or dear friends have health problems, and some may be grieving the loss of a loved one. And yet here we are, this very day, in the presence of the triune God, the God who not only created us, but has redeemed us in Christ, has made us the sheep of his own pasture, and provides for us today in the Holy Supper of Christ's body and blood a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful banquet. And if you like, I can say that as Lawrence Welk did. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Today's Old Testament reading and today's Gospel reading speak of a banquet as well. There are two different banquets, if you will, or maybe the same banquet, but we're going to talk about the one in the Gospel reading at first. Jesus tells another parable to the Pharisees and the high priest and the Sadducees, his enemies who are gathered around him. Remember, the setting is Holy Week. It's in the temple in Jerusalem. In just 3 days, Jesus is going to institute the Lord's Supper, and he will be betrayed and handed over into the hands of his enemies. And on the following day, he will be crucified. He will suffer and die. So here's Jesus' parable about the master of a house a king's son. Let me make sure I'm at the correct page in the lectionary. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared," Jesus says, "to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And this wedding feast was maybe weeks or months after the king sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast. In Jewish practice at the time, there was the wedding invitation sent out. And then, at whatever time the bridegroom chose, there would be the wedding itself. We see this in the parable of the 10 virgins, which comes in year 3 in the Gospel according to Luke. Anyway, he sent out his servants to those who were invited to the wedding feast, but guess what? They would not come. They weren't interested. Now, this was a king, and to ignore his invitation was to show disrespect to the king. So again, he sends other servants on the day of the wedding feast, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to my wedding feast. A daughter of this congregation is going to be married in a few weeks, and that will be a time of joy and thanksgiving, a time of celebration. For God will be bringing together a man and a woman he created and joining them in the bonds of holy matrimony. And I am quite sure that the bridegroom and the bride will not be shedding tears when they stand before this altar." You know, saying, "Oh, gee." Yeah. They'll probably each be wearing a broad smile. And the people in attendance will as well. Well, this wedding feast was to be an occasion of joy too, and it was going to be a great banquet. You know, the fatted calves have been slaughtered, the oxen have been slaughtered. People didn't have opportunity to eat much meat in that day. Meat was reserved only for special occasions. So everything was prepared. It was going to be a great party, a wonderful blowout in honor of the marriage of the king's son. But when the second invitation went out, the people paid no attention. Who cares? And off they went on other business. One to his farm, another to his job. And some actually seized the servants and treated them shamefully and even killed them. In today's gospel reading, those servants who were seized and treated shamefully and were killed were the prophets who preceded Jesus and who prophesied the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one for whom Israel was longing. And yet the problem is, when he arrived in the flesh, many of the religious leaders of the day, among the Jews, God's chosen people, rejected him. And he ended up being treated shamefully and seized and killed through death by crucifixion. Well, the king got angry. His invitation had been spurned. His son had been despised because no one came. And he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Great act of judgment there. A judgment that was fulfilled in 70 AD when the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem and sacked it and destroyed the temple and burned the city, just as Jesus had prophesied some 40 years earlier. A temporal judgment fell upon the people because they had rejected God's Son, the sole source of salvation. Okay. Then the king says to the serpents, "Well, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited, those who heard the prophets, and ignored those words, were not worthy. So go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads. They went out in the highways and byways, and they gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. Come to the feast. Come to the king's wedding feast. The fattened calves and the oxen have been slaughtered. It's going to be a time of great joy and celebration. Hey, you won't get a meal like this ever again in your life. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. You know, our fattened calf has been slaughtered, the fattened calf upon whom we feast, our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for the sins of the world, the one who was offered up on the cross to atone for all your sins, the sins of which you are most guilty before God, the sins you have forgotten, the sins you will commit in the next half hour, the sins you will commit on your dying day. Jesus is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the whole world, and that means he's taken away yours, and you can't do anything about it because he's done it. That's a reason to rejoice. And that's a reason to come to the banquet the King throws for us today, the party to end all parties in this world, the Holy Supper of our Lord's body and blood. Anyway, the wedding hall was filled with guests, and the king goes in to walk around and greet the guest, but he sees there a man who had no wedding garments on. Maybe he was dressed in rags, maybe he was wearing his work clothes, but at the time it was not unknown when there was a wedding for the master of the wedding to supply white wedding garments for the people, for the guests. And for whatever reason, this man had refused to put on the white wedding garment. So the king comes to him and says, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? Were you overlooked?" But the man was speechless. He had nothing to say in his guilt. So the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him not into the alley, not into the gutter, but into the outer darkness of hell. And in that place, there's not going to be rejoicing. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, many are invited to the feast, but few are chosen." Again, we have the feast, a wonderful celebration, and we have two descriptions of judgment here. The temporal judgment that came upon Jerusalem, the city that stoned the prophets, the city in which our Lord was crucified, and this man who was not decked out in a wedding garment. According to Revelation, the white garments in which the saints are clothed are the righteous deeds of the saints accomplished through faith in Christ. According to the book of Isaiah, it is God himself who clothes his people with the garments of righteousness. So we can interpret this man without the wedding garment to be someone who lacks faith. Someone who has come into the banquet hall, to the wedding reception, but because of faith, or the lack of faith, he is not prepared. Okay, what does this mean for us today? We always ask that of Scripture, because if Scripture does not have anything to say to us in our present day, then who needs it? But it does have something to say to each one of us who are gathered here in this banquet hall to the great feast, a foretaste of the wedding banquet of the Lamb. And that thing that Scripture has to say to us is God has prepared all things and made them ready, But we ourselves are to be ready to participate in the feast too. No, I could be preaching from this pulpit and not believe a word of it. Well, if that were the case, I would be cast out into the outer darkness of hell. And you could be sitting in that pew and not believe a word of it. You could think you have no need of repentance. You have no sin that needs to be forgiven. You could be here for a social thing, or because your family has been here, or because it's the expected thing to do in the United States. Well, not any longer. We live in a nation that is hostile to the Christian faith. But the point is, if you are here in the banquet hall lacking faith in Jesus Christ, then you run the risk of being cast out into outer darkness, just as this man who had no wedding garment was. But listen to these words. Many are called. God calls you. God calls you to repentance and faith. God called you in holy baptism. And you are called as one of his called and redeemed people to come and hear his word gladly, joyfully, rejoicing. Because that is a word of forgiveness to you. That is a word of life to you. It is a word of salvation. And you are called to come and partake of the banquet. Christ's body and blood, or if you will, the fattened oxen and calves that have been slaughtered, for the forgiveness of your sins. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is, or as Lawrence Welk would say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The hymn we sang prior to the sermon is a hymn of praise, a hymn of thanksgiving. I come, O Savior, to thy table. 618, if you want to look at it. Yeah. Why do I come? Because I'm weak and weary, my soul is. And you, the bread of life, who gives me your body and blood in the sacrament, alone are able to satisfy me and make me whole. And then the refrain, Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. And indeed, his body and his blood given to you this day are the highest good. They are the medicine of immortality. They are what he gives you to keep your faith alive and to keep you in his grace and mercy, to bring you to that great ultimate wedding banquet of the Lamb that the book of Revelation describes and is described in today's Old Testament reading. This is a text from Isaiah chapter 25, often used at funerals. It speaks of the resurrection of the body. It speaks of the feast of rich food which God's people will partake of eternally when Christ returns and they are raised. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, the good stuff. Not something you find on the dollar rack at the grocery store. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering of death that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever for the sake of him who himself experienced death and who was raised again on the third day. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. If the tears are gone, that leaves only joy and thanksgiving. For the Lord has spoken, and when the Lord speaks, it is as done as good. Just as I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, at the beginning of the divine service,
forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I do that as a servant of the Word, God's Word. And here it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. When you get over a cold or the flu or a surgery, you're feeling pretty happy. But when you get over dying, when you're raised again, the joy will be beyond compare. And you know what? Here, right here in the Holy Supper, we have a foretaste of that. You know, the appetizer, if you will, we're waiting for the main course. So, this is a party you don't want to miss. The great wedding banquet of the Lamb is a party you don't want to miss. Be there. Be there trusting in Christ alone. Be there as you see your need of Christ, your need of his forgiveness, your need of his salvation, your need of what he gives to you, the Holy Gospel in word and sacrament. It's a party you don't want to miss. And that's why we, the redeemed of Christ, whose sins are forgiven, nailed to the cross forever, taken away from us, come into his presence with joy and with thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.